Americans at that time believed that Sandy Hook was likely or definitely fake.
Well, we are going to do part two and post online at democracynow.org and talk about the texts that were handed over and what they may say. We're speaking with Elizabeth Williamson, New York Times features reporter, author of the book Sandy Hook, An American Tragedy and the Battle for Truth. That does it for our show. Democracy Now! Currently accepting applications for a People and Culture Manager. Learn more at democracynow.org. I'm Amy Goodman with Juan Gonzalez.
You are listening to WUSB Stony Brook 90.1 and 107.3 FM. This program has been brought to you today by the Tom Pastilio and Mickey Conlin team at Douglas Elliman Real Estate, hosts of the Jazz Loft Summer Music Series in Stony Brook Village. The Tom Pastilio and Mickey Conlin team at Douglas Elliman Real Estate may be reached at tomandmickey.com. We thank them for their support of WUSB Stony Brook.
And this is WUSB Stony Brook. It's just about 6 o'clock, and that means, I believe, it's time for another edition of Off the Wall. Thank you. Okay, I think we're about ready now. A lot of extra preparation this week. It's been hectic. It's been a hectic week. At least on this end, it's been. Like, you want to swap the microphone a little harder there, Kyle?
I was just gesturing my excitement for having accomplished so much.
You started the gesturing before you started the speaking. That's how I know what you say is going to be good.
It's always good.
That voice over there is Kyle, and this is Emmanuel over here. And we're back for another action-packed edition of Off the Wall, the one-hour program that basically goes on for an hour and discusses various things that I was going to ask that.
Mm-hmm. What are we?
We don't know. We've been trying to figure that one out for a long time. But what I can tell you is that we don't have the FBI raiding us. Not this week. But the former president does. What do you think about that? I've been so caught up in projects, you know, post-conference projects, that I sort of don't pay attention to what's going on in the world or even outside at all. That's the only way to get things done. And sometimes you have to work for 24 hours straight to get things done. And fortunately, that's over. Of course, I still have to catch up on sleep and things like that. But, you know, in the middle of all this, I just happened to be changing channels because something was on in the background. I just saw Trump's Mar-a-Lago estate is being raided by the FBI as we speak. And, boy, that was something. That really, you don't see that every day.
It was bizarre to encounter and fully appreciate. I don't think it's sunk in, but I had the same kind of I was stunned, you know, and I'm half joking, but I'm sure there's an explanation.
Oh yeah. it brings back memories because what was it, 1983, the FBI raided the station. It was my fault. Water under the bridge. But I know the feeling. This is something I can share with Trump. Actually, one of the few things I can share. The feeling of when the feds arrive. And that's what people said back then. Yeah, there must be something. And there was. Yeah. What hackers do sometimes is run afoul. But we cleared it up. Everybody's friends now. This case going on right now, it's not so clear, not yet, and people are not friends at all. But, you know, what's interesting is that, you know, looking at the coverage, hearing them say, this has got nothing to do with January 6th. It's got nothing to do with January 6th. This has got nothing to do with fraudulent business practices either. No, those are other cases. We'll raid you later for those. But, no, this is about stealing secret information, top secret, you know, the kinds of things that presidents have access to, but presidents who are no longer presidents should not be taking home with them. And apparently it's been well known that this is what Trump has done. And apparently they have some evidence, some reports. You know, I gotta say, I'm not first in line to trust the FBI by any stretch of the imagination. I've got some serious issues, you know, involving close friends of mine, and very. I was treated fairly, but other people have not been treated fairly, and they have been dishonest. But, you know, I can say the same thing about almost any governmental agency. That's not the issue. The issue is that this is unprecedented. That a former president of the United States. I mean, what the Republicans are doing right now. If you look at their outrage tour that's happening, playing out on Fox News, they're basically saying never before has a president been treated this way by a law enforcement agency. And yeah, you know, I agree. Never before has that happened because never before has there been somebody of such low integrity who held the office. And this is what happens. Nobody is above the law. And now he's starting to pay the price.
Yeah, I had a couple things come to mind. That yes, the January 6th committee, you get the feeling that they're perhaps a little restless, and that the the Justice Department maybe is playing catch-up. I mean, however it went down, I mean, there was all this consternation about why the Justice Department isn't doing anything, mm-hmm. and January 6th committee goes away, they go on a nice little holiday to Bermuda or whatever, gone surfing, and then here we go, the Justice Department, turns out they didn't make any plans for August as far as their vacations went. And certainly, yeah, the taking of documents, I guess, is part of this. I don't know what, I'm sure you have the exact detail.
No, I don't. Nobody does.
No, nobody does. Yeah, that's right, because it's probably, what is it, grand jury. Grand jury that's, we don't really know what the details will be until it is, charges are brought,
I guess.
But
here's the thing, what the Republicans are doing is they're immediately saying that this is unfair, this is unjust. They're not willing to say, well, let's see what the investigation shows. What they're saying is, we're going to investigate. You know, guys, you have the investigation. This is the investigation, okay? If you want an investigation, here it is. But you want to investigate the investigation without having any evidence whatsoever, you know, just because this is your guy. That ain't right, okay? You have to let justice play out. You have to actually hear the evidence. You have to see what it is they're after. Does that make sense?
Oh yeah, and the law enforcement themselves are probably asking this question. You know, why never before has this been done? And you know, the precedent they've had to set internally is probably pretty remarkable to have executed this and taken documents. I heard a safe was broken into. Mm-hmm. But that's anecdotal. I don't know what the actual details are. I do know that the right wing and the loud parts of his support group, I guess that's a good thing to call him, support group.
Yeah.
Are going bonkers. Mm-hmm. They're losing it, losing their collective cool about this whole thing. And, you know, many points could be made about it. I don't think you convince very many of them.
Well, you know,
although some of them, I think it's dawning upon them that this this guy is not in such a good position as they think, as he might bloviate about.
Well, bloviate. Basically, you know, nobody on his side is saying he's innocent. You notice that? They're not saying that. What they're saying is this is an outrage. How dare Biden? And Biden's got nothing to do with it. Do you think Biden would time it this way if he had something to do with it? He just had probably the most successful week of his presidential term. You know, the bill has finally been signed. Manchin and Sinema came on board, and a surprise. Unemployment is down. Jobs are 500,000 jobs added last month. The economy is improving. Gas prices are down. Gas prices are under $4 a gallon now, so I don't want to hear any more complaining about that. You know, basically, people underestimated him, and then he went out and got COVID twice, and they're starting to get things done. So, yeah, why would he want to take away attention from that by having Trump's house raided? No, it's just something that's independent. It's supposed to be independent. And, you know, if right away you're going to say that the FBI is acting illegally, you know, even I don't say things like that, you know, and I don't trust them. But when they act on something, they're acting on something. So you can't just say this should not have happened without sharing why you believe that. And that's what Republicans are doing right now. They're saying, oh, Hunter Biden, well, what does Hunter Biden have to do with any of this? You know, he's not in the White House like Trump's kids were. You know, if he's corrupt, okay, he's corrupt. That's another issue. I don't know anything about him. Don't care. It's not relevant. That's all they cling to constantly. This is relevant. We're talking about state secrets. We're talking about people who had and still have access, and we're talking about very, very illegal conduct. So, yeah, it's relevant.
And the beauty of it is that to them matters, but doesn't matter right now. It's they've made their move. the agencies involved and whatever they're after, they have to pursue and will. So it's in the past, and for the whining and complaining about of where it had, you know, what had happened and how it went down, really doesn't matter going forward. You know, it's kind of out of anybody's hands.
Well, as far as, yeah, as far as Trump is
he's concerned, resisted on all the legal avenues he could possibly do, and he didn't participate. He didn't produce this stuff, and they want him to produce it.
Well, he's trying to control the narrative now. He's the one who announced this. You know, the FBI did not announce this. Trump was basically spreading the word. And that's, you know, that's what you do if you want to get ahead of the story. And it's a good way to rally the troops, and that seems to be working as far as getting this outrage. But again, where's the information? Where's the evidence? You know, that and that goes for both sides. Obviously, he's innocent until proven guilty, but to just say that he's innocent without having any evidence of that, that to me is very disturbing, especially when you consider the things that he is suspected of doing.
That's a brilliant point, too, because the closer this is kept to the Justice Department, which I'm presuming they are not going to be saying very much, the more stories will be colliding and not really coherent, because they don't know the evidence that will be presented or that they're really looking for specifically. And in this case, Trump has been the orchestrator of a lot of periphery investigations, narratives, you know, the excuses, the spin, all of that has been something he's been able to speak to because it hasn't been directly related to him. Him trying to spin this, it doesn't work in the same way because the subject of this is him. Finally.
Yeah, yeah. Republicans are going crazy. They're panicking. We got to see where this goes. I do feel like justice is finally on the horizon. You know, it was very frustrating over the past couple of years, several years, waiting for consequences for all these horrible things that have happened, that have been done, the abuses of power, the lying, the cheating. And, okay, accountability. I'm all for it. So let's hope that this plays out. Thing that worries me is the election coming up. And if basically Republicans are promising, if we win, we will stop this investigation of anything Trump did. And how does that win them votes? Well, the sad fact is it does. And if you're somebody who wants to just stop the investigation, you know, no matter what side you're on, how is that right? How is that right? Yeah. No one's been treated this way. I agree with that. No president has been treated this way because no president has acted this way. And there are enough independent voices saying that for it to be pretty decisively not a partisan issue. Look at the number of people on the January 6th commission, number of people who have testified who are Republicans. For God's sake, wake up. So, that's what's been going on outside. But other things have been happening, too. I've been having fun. I make my own fun, you know, things that other people think are just a waste of time. Let me give you a bit of advice here. Those are the best kinds of activities to be involved in because no one's going to take it away from you. And just being able to appreciate things that maybe other people don't appreciate as much, that's life. That's how you appreciate things. That's how you learn about things. That's how you become a better-rounded person, I think. So a few things have happened. We discovered a new TV channel on our Canadian dish. Just showed up. Inuit TV.
264.
Channel 264. On some systems. But basically, it's a TV channel for the Inuit people up in the north. And this is in addition to APTN, Aboriginal People's Television Network. This is specifically the Inuit people. Everything is in Inuktitut or captioned in Inuktitut. Some of it is in English. it's on, okay, this is how we found it. We were just channel surfing. And that's the cool thing about having a Canadian dish. You find all kinds of different types of channels, things you never get here in the United States. It's sad because we really should have things like this. So we found this channel. It labeled itself as Inuit. I knew that was going to be interesting. And it had this what looked like a log burning, you know, kind of like the Yule log that you see sometimes. Basically, the Canadian dish system has a fireplace channel that just plays a fireplace all the time. And they have it in French as well, even though there's no words. So you have two fireplaces already. But now you have this. But it wasn't the log. Turns out, and somebody on Twitter was able to give me this information, turns out it's a seal oil lamp. A seal oil lamp that apparently is used in Native communities. So everybody up there would know what that was. I didn't. But that was what was playing while the station was not on the air. And that's another thing that I just kind of appreciate a lot, is the station not being on the air. You know, now everything is on all the time. But it used to be that every TV station would sign off at a certain time and have a test pattern or just have static. Same thing with cable networks. And I don't know why that's a better thing in my eyes. I guess because look at the quality of programming that's on at those hours. It's either infomercials or just a lot of garbage. It means more when something isn't there all the time. And in this particular case, Inuit TV signs off at a particular time, and they sign on at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Yeah, they go the entire day showing you the seal oil lamp, and then they go on at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and they stay on until 9 o'clock at night. 5 hours of programming a day. That's it. That's all you need. And that programming is fascinating. Some of it is old, some of it is new. It's basically documentaries or creative works, or it's even people just dancing in a gymnasium. It's you feel like you're there. You feel like you're a part of the culture, and you learn so much about it. There's this particular kind of dance. They do this every night, where basically a whole lot of people are watching, right? And two people just kind of shuffle opposite each other for about a minute. That's all they do. They just kind of shuffle back and forth while music, kind of like a square dance type music, is playing in the background. And kids as young as 2, adults as old as 85, do this without any problem whatsoever. And people love it. And it's just so alien to us here, but it's the most amazing thing. So I've been having a great time while I've been doing work, having that on in the background, just seeing all these interesting little bits of culture that come to me through this awesome channel that we just discovered. And Inuit TV, basically, they launched, I did a little research on this, they launched it in May, May 2nd, it airs throughout the Arctic. It's the all Inuit channel. The idea was first sparked 16 years ago. Now, here's the interesting thing. In January of 2021, a channel called Uvagut TV launched. And they also broadcast in Inuit. Now, you would think that this might annoy them, but not at all. They are thrilled that there's another station broadcasting in Inuktitut, and they're helping them. And that is the spirit of cooperation. It's the most incredible thing. Now, we don't get that other channel. I wish we did. I'd like to see that as well. But it's just really cool to see something so different. And boy, you know, we have many, many cultures in our country. There's no reason why we shouldn't have things like this. Things that have no commercials, that basically might show you a seal or a lamp for 20 hours a day. But that is variety. And what we have now, it's all the same, you know? It's basically every TV channel seems to be in the same voice. You know, there's no difference between Bravo and Discovery, and they all basically seem to be geared to the same type of person. I like variety. I like differences. And this is something really cool.
Yeah, those differences are really critical. And it really puts on its ear that concept of only speaking English. When you think of how many indigenous languages there are in North America, as well as in Canada, north of America, in Canada, and even further north there, in the Northwest Territories and Nunavut. And, the shows they're showing... Anyway, language, keeping language preserved, I think, is something this also is doing in kind of a stealthy way by having programming for, like... younger people learning language. I heard like nursery rhymes in Inuktitut and just saw all kinds of educational programming that teaches both culture, but it's all in the language itself. Of course, also much of the alphabet is used. It's totally alien and foreign, but what I think is important is it's preserved for them, but also broadcast so that people that are outside it who really aren't familiar and it's but it's still around us can gain something from it as well. And like you said, there's many of those languages here in the Northeast, the Northwest, the Southwest, every part of the U.S. And right, like we criticize people who maybe don't speak English, but at the same time we're a melting pot. Like, I just find those paradoxes just wrong. We should be into that diversity you're talking about, and that includes language. And you know, having that can be the opening of a conversation. It could help you order a drink and or learn how to toast and celebrate a cultural exchange. And that's what we're really all about. That's what we profess to be about in this country. And I just want to, I like the idea that we're sharing more about these things that are so close to us, that are in our backyard, and well, owning it, owning it more.
I wish we were sharing, because, you know, obviously people can't get Canadian TV in our country. They should be able to. I believe that's something that they would learn so much from. Certainly Canadians are able to get American TV. So, you know, many times they speak the same language, too, but on the times they don't, you know, there's a great channel up there called Omni TV that basically speaks in a different language every half hour. That's the kind of thing we should be embracing and celebrating. That's how you really learn to appreciate cultures.
Yeah, and for that younger generation, they're not watching just monoculture as we're sort of characterizing it and only learning English. They're able to be code switch and have... both of those worlds in as vibrant and healthy a light as possible, and we all will benefit from that kind of stuff as well.
Now, something else I've been involved in recent months actually is I might have mentioned this on the radio a while ago. I discovered a list of the top 100 songs of, I think, 1972. And I was a little kid then, and I remember all these songs. I know every single song. And it just seemed like, wow, music was really cool then. But I realize everybody goes through that. Everybody goes through a certain part of their life where they remember all the songs, usually when they're a kid, and they just take on this incredible meaning. Well, I found that list of 100 songs on Wikipedia. Basically, it was Billboard's Hot 100 for that year. And as it is with Wikipedia, you kind of fall down a rabbit hole. I noticed that they had a list for every single year going back to 1946. Yeah. So I was really curious, what are the songs from 1946 like in the Hot 100? Well, it turns out it wasn't a Hot 100, it was a Hot 30. So I guess there were less songs, or they just didn't keep track of it the same way. And a lot of the songs actually were the same song done by different people. But what I've been doing is I've been going back year by year and finding all these songs and learning about them and listening to them and basically getting kind of used to them. Can I play you an example here? I brought one of the records up here.
I'm just going to type a letter to the satellite programmers just because I'm so thankful for all the cool networks they're putting on.
Well,
so
that's,
keep doing that.
Yeah, you do that, but we're going to listen to some music now. From 1946.
I'll type quietly.
This is from, I'd like you to hear the music, actually.
No, I'm listening while I work.
Betty Hutton. Now, this is on a, bear with us, because this is on a 78. Let's listen.
There's a doctor. doctor living in your town. There's a lawyer and an Indian too, and neither doctor, lawyer, nor Indian chief could love you any more than I do.
Okay, so a mild racism there. That's something that you're just going to find no matter what. But guess what? What you can do with these records is restore them.
There's a doctor living in your town. There's a lawyer and an Indian too. And neither doctor, lawyer, nor Indian chief could love you any more than I do. There's a barrel of fish in the ocean. There's a lot of little birds in the blue. And neither fish nor fowl, says a wise old owl, could love you any more than I do. No, 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 it couldn't be true. Tell the doctor to stick to his practice. Tell the lawyer to settle his case. Send the engine chief and a stommy hawk back to Little Rain in the face. 'Cause you know, no, no, it couldn't be true.
Okay, so that's about enough for that. But, you know, it's a catchy tune. It's racist as hell, I know. But it's history. It's our history. And, I just feel like I'm learning so much about, it was Betty Hutton, by the way, who, how many of you even know who Betty Hutton is? Yeah.
It's a vaguely familiar name. But
it's just one of many singers. I've been, you know, a lot of singers of the past, I've just ipso facto rejected as being corny or, you know, too old. And listening to them, being forced to listen to them, because, you know, I basically find every song and listen to it at least once. And sometimes I just play. I make a playlist out of it, and basically every year has a playlist of the hits. It's so cool to be able to do that. Now I didn't go out and get the 78s on archive.org. They actually have a collection of 78s, and it's brilliant because almost every song is represented, and you actually see the label. You realize they came out on 78s, which basically. It came out in 78 up until the end of the 1950s. Did not know that. Some rock and roll is on 78. So it's, to me, I kind of like hearing the poor sound quality because it just feels more authentic. I can always get something that sounds much better. But if you want to really experience the times, I feel that's a good way to do it.
This is a kind of interesting. I didn't tell you this at the time, but it came to mind at the moment yesterday. You were playing Splish Splash.
I was.
That song, when I was little, like that's like one of the earliest sing-alongs I think that I learned. Maybe I don't know, in daycare or like grade school somewhere that song. Maybe it was some swim club or I don't know. I heard it really young or was taught it really young, and that was not of the range necessarily, but it was sort of an oldie, I guess, when I was growing up, and a part of, I guess, nursery rhymes or stuff that little kids would listen to. So that was really funny yesterday when that came on, because as familiar as you are with this era and having a lot of those memories, that really triggered a funny emerging memories for me of music, really, of my first interactions with fun, you know, playful music.
Because you know, there are these channels that purport to play music from the 50s or music from the 60s, but they play such a limited amount. If you have even 100 of the top hits, it's still only a fraction of what's out there, but it's more than what you will hear on those stations, because they just basically play the top maybe 20, and some of them they just don't play at all for one reason or another. It's just fascinating to go through it all and hear how it played out. I'm up to 1958 now, and believe me, a couple of years earlier, I think 56, things started to change dramatically. You no longer had the Bing Crosbys and the Dean Martins basically dominating and having their crooning. You know, Frank Sinatra songs, they're all fine and good, but boy, it didn't feel like anything was changing over the years from the 40s into the late 50s.
It was just me and my babe and my, you know, my lost love.
Oh,
my,
I've got a song for you.
New love, my old love.
I've got a song for you in a minute. But I want to play this first. You ever hear of Tex Williams?
Why
would you hear of Tex Williams? We don't talk about these people.
This is WUSB Stony Brook. Of course that's what we're
talking somebody
about.
Here, I guarantee, has heard of Tex Williams.
Yeah.
He was an American Western swing musician, and he came out with this song in 1947.
Now, I'm a feller with a heart of gold, with the ways of a gentleman, I've been told. The kind of a feller that wouldn't even harm a flea. But if me and a certain character met, the guy that invented the cigarette, I'd murder that son of a gun in the first degree. Now, it ain't cause that I don't smoke myself, and I don't reckon they hinder your health. I've smoked them all my life, and I ain't dead yet. But nicotine slaves are all the same at a petting party or a poker game. Everything's got to stop while they have that cigarette. Smoke, smoke, smoke that cigarette. Puff, 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 and if you smoke yourself to death, tell St. Peter at the Golden Gate that you hates to make him wait, but you just gotta have another cigarette. Now in a game of chance the other night, old Dame Fortune was doing me right. The kings and the queens, they just kept on coming around. Then I got a full and I bet it high, but my bluff didn't work on a certain guy. He just kept on a-raising and a-laying the money down. Now he'd raise me and I'd raise him. I sweated blood, I got a sink or swim. He finally called and then didn't raise the bet. I said, "Ace is full, pal, how about you?" And he said, "Well, I'll tell you in just a minute or two, but right now I just gotta have a cigarette.
Smoke, smoke, smoke that cigarette. Puff, 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 and if you smoke yourself to death,
tell St. Peter at the Golden Gate that you hate to make him wait, but you just gotta have another cigarette." The other night I had a date with the cutest little girl in the 48 states, a hybrid uptown fancy little date. Now she said she loved me, and it seemed to me that things were just about like they ought to be. So hand in hand we strolled down Lover's Lane. She was oh so far from a chunk of ice, and our smooching party was going real nice. So help me, Hannah, I think I'd have been there yet. But I give her a kiss and a little squeeze, and she said, "Tex, excuse me please, but I just gotta have another cigarette.
Smoke, smoke, smoke that cigarette.
Tell St. Peter at the Golden Gate that you hates to make him wait, but you just gotta have another cigarette."
Yeah, who would think 1947 there was such a strong anti-smoking sentiment expressed on the radio? Yeah, so basically that was a bit of history there.
I think that was probably a reaction to the long and difficult period prior to that, and a lot of people returning from Europe. There's probably a lot of smoking going on.
Think about that. 1947, you know, only 3 years earlier, the war was in full swing, and I guess the country was kind of shell-shocked, but you see how we sort of staggered out of that and got into something a bit more creative in the later 50s. But, Tex Williams and his Western caravan there. Smoke that cigarette. Boy. Okay, so you ready to cringe now? Because we're going to just jump ahead to 1957. I never really liked Pat Boone. One thing I've found by engaging in this project is a lot of the songs that that became hits were actually African-American songs that were taken over by white people kind of toned down a bit, and they got all the credit for it. A lot of Elvis is like that, but you know, many, many artists. Slowly, that started to change. Slowly, but very slowly. And there was much music before the late 50s that I aim to get a hold of at some point that's more genuine, that's more authentic from the African-American community that I think will be a lot of fun to listen to, a lot of just educational material there. But this song here, boy, I don't even know how to describe this. This is a song that was a hit, I think it was number 6 in 1957 by Pat Boone. It's called Don't Forbid Me. And we're gonna have some running commentary throughout this because, boy, this is something.
Don't forbid me to hold you tight.
Okay, yeah. Uh-huh. Got a roller coaster.
To hold you tight.
Yeah, the lady said no. No.
'Cause it's cold and I can keep you warm.
Okay, pal, get a sweater or something. Leave her alone.
Yeah, there's a sale at the Coat Factory.
To kiss your lips.
Okay, if she forbids you from kissing her lips, you damn well better not kiss her lips. This guy, he's out of control.
To kiss your lips.
Okay, why don't you try reading lips?
'Cause it's cold and your lips might freeze.
Okay, no, the lips will not freeze. Basically, you need to freeze in your tracks, pal. The pressure that women are put under in many of these songs is just... Okay, let's listen to the end of it. Fortunately, they're only about 2 minutes long.
So don't forbid.
Where's my pepper spray?
Don't forbid me to talk sweet talk. Let me fill your little heart with mine. 'Cause it's cold, so don't forbid my desire. It's so
Don't forbid my desire? My God, how creepy can you possibly get? Oh, it just sends a shiver down my spine thinking that women were subjected to this kind of crap. And, wow.
Well, still are in some ways.
Oh, yeah, and you know what?
It's not tolerated.
There was a connection to Elvis Presley. The Beatles did a cover version of this song. This is not something that Pat Boone bears responsibility for in total, but... This was the kind of time we were living in.
Do you think it's the lyrics or the tone or the... Because if a different artist does it, it doesn't change.
Don't forbid my desire. I mean, if we heard somebody say that, that's rapey. That's very, very rapey.
Yeah, desire has a lot heavier connotations. It's like, yeah.
So anyway, it's fun listening to all these old songs, but boy, you get an education. And there are some things that leap out at you. But I recommend it. I recommend going down that rabbit hole and just finding all the songs and listening to them, saving them, having them in little lists of the hits of this particular year, and you see all the connections. You see how something derived from this particular track, and it's just something that you learn a lot from, and it's a great way to pass time as well while you're doing other things. So yeah, that's some of the fun I've been having.
Not all the fun, of course.
No, of course not. No, there's actual work that I've been doing as well. But yeah, well, what have you been doing?
You think I should get my appendix removed? I mean, just if I wanted to.
You just want to get your appendix removed?
Well, can you do it voluntarily?
I think you need to have it removed. You can't just say, I don't want this anymore. That's not how organs work.
Well, what if I want it? Like, just I want to, like, take it off the table. Like, I want to make it so it's not in the picture, you know?
No, I think you need your appendix. People think you don't need your appendix.
Do you store things there? Or like,
I'm not prepared to defend the appendix, but unless it's, you know, if it's bothering you, then obviously you see somebody and say, this, you know, we're having a conflict here, and somebody's got to go. And then, I guess, doctors decide which of you will go. Yeah.
I was just thinking about that. Doing all right, art stuff. Yeah, we talked about the bike trail. Still haven't seen that. I want to walk around.
There's a new bike trail out east.
Have you heard about
the
this?
Eastern part of the North Fork of Long Island. It goes by our friends at the Tesla Museum out in Shoreham.
And don't forget, there's a lot of improvements on 347 for bicycle access, but the way to workable plans in the future is to connect them all up and mm-hmm. to make good signage. And
yeah.
And it seems they're starting to do that near Stony Brook and all around the area. And it just is about the kind of weather that I think you could bear, you know, commuting on a bike, but sitting in traffic and stuff, that wouldn't be very fun,
this heat. Riding on the road with cars is for the birds. I swear, don't do that. It's not safe. We're not well prepared for it. You know, pick roads that are not traveled by lots and lots of cars. Until there are decent bike lanes. This is a decent bike lane because it's separate from roads, and we need things like that.
That's right. A lot of the bike lanes are really shared lanes, and mm-hmm. It's not the same thing. This is much different. In many places around, big cities around the world, those lanes are near the traffic in urban environments, but also separate.
Well, I remember
not actually at road grade and just merely painted next to the cars.
Out in Seattle, you were able to ride from the city Seattle all the way out to, I believe, Kent. Which is, you know, a distance, and you weren't on the road. You were on a path the whole way. And similarly, a bunch of years ago in the Netherlands, we were able to ride from Amsterdam all the way to a campground where a hacker convention was happening, and we were able to take a bike pass pretty much the whole way.
You know what's wild about the interurban trail is at night. I mean, you could take it at all hours. That's really fun. Mm-hmm. If you have a light.
Unlike the mass transit.
Well, right. And, I you know, commuting, if you're working or visiting people, and that trail at night is full of rabbits. The bunnies come out because it's near a river.
What's up with rabbits? They're up in the daytime and the nighttime. When do they sleep? I don't get it. Explain it to me.
I don't know, but you have to dodge the rabbits that mm-hmm. emerge. But there's all kinds of wildlife out here on the trail. And your proximity to the natural environment is much different than commuting and sharing with traffic, and that's something to celebrate.
Yeah.
And being amidst the other elements in the world on two wheels is a wonderful feeling, and you can hear and see things that you wouldn't ordinarily appreciate maybe on mass transit.
And you just feel so good afterwards, after actually, you know, exerting yourself a little bit, you know, not going over the top, unless that's your thing, but also getting around, seeing other people.
I know. I read someone was doing laps, an article about this, basically this...
What, on the new trail?
Yeah,
well, you can't do a lap because it's not a circle, but
going back and forth to do a bunch of miles, uh-huh. which is cool because, again, you're protected. You can do your own pace. This is where I think listening to music is a lot more acceptable, in my opinion. I mean, there's different attitudes about cycling and stuff, but I find that, you know, you should be able to hear traffic if you're in traffic.
Yes.
And if you're on a protected path, there's still traffic, right? There's people with strollers or pets and stuff, and you need to pay attention when you're cycling. But And of course, you need to be mindful of joggers who might have music or WUSB Stony Brook in their ears. But I think you could safely, once you're on the bike path, if you turn up WUSB just like low and maybe like make a little bit of one ear exposed so you can hear the road.
Yeah.
But always make sure WUSB is playing when you're out there
on
the bicycle trail.
It's going to be hard with the reduced power we're still at. I understand that's going to be changing soon, but we still are only a fraction of our full power, and we're waiting for this new transmitter to arrive. It's supply-side nonsense now. And once we do that, you will be able to turn on WUSB on that bike trail on the North Fork of Long Island. And also, we'll be improving the signal on 107.3 as well, because that station has been stepped on like a cockroach by the people in Connecticut, who I won't get into right now, but boy.
We got to do something. You know, I was listening to All Things Considered the other day. I was out working in my workshop. Had a little radio out there. Yeah. Thought I'd tune in to the old 90.1, and I got All Things Considered.
Wait, hold on a second. There isn't an NPR station at 90.1, so you might have been getting something at 89.9.
Bleeding over.
Yeah, you probably were getting
because
that.
Because we are, what, so crippled? No, this has got to change. We're working on this, ladies and gentlemen.
What's insane, just to give you a sense, of how NPR basically takes over. They basically, what they like to say, there's a station out east that says, we're the only NPR station on Long Island. Okay, you know, maybe that's true. It's not true, but maybe it is true. So you have one NPR station there. Then you have a massive network from Connecticut that has about five frequencies of NPR. That's not enough for you? There's a second network from Connecticut that has another bunch of stations, also NPR. And on top of that, you've got New York City, which, you know, the signal gets out here very easily. More NPR. Do you know how many stations you can listen to All Things Considered on? It's insane. And to say there's only one NPR station on Long Island, is that just shows how dishonest that is. Whereas WUSB, there's only one WUSB.
Well, they were overpowering the classical, which was also the same frequency, I believe. So
I've caught
the suspicion you have, I think, is correct.
I've caught NPR. I'm not going to name names.
But we
here.
Can't say which NPR.
We can, but I just don't want to. There's an NPR network up in Connecticut, all right, and they have another frequency in the commercial band. And I heard them there, but I heard something else interfering with it. And it took me a while to figure out what that other station was, because that also seemed to be non-commercial in nature. Same frequency. Turns out it's the same station with two different feeds in two different parts of the region. They interfere with each other. That's how dominant they are, is that they use the same frequency as a secondary frequency, but have different feeds in different regions. We're just struggling to stay at 90.1. We're just trying to get our frequency back from when the transmitter blew up. And hopefully we will. And with your support, listeners, we'll get there. Please. WUSB.fm is our website. There's a way you can donate. And because it matters here. It matters at a station like WUSB, where there's actual people. Yeah. Like us.
And we're working hard and telling this only to reinforce your confidence in this community radio effort that so many people behind the scenes are working on. So we'll keep you updated as the station improves, and we're doing maintenance and various upgrades throughout the coming weeks and months. All that information will be... We'll post some stories, or at least an alert, of course, at WUSB.fm, and we will grouse about it whenever the ocean liner drops off that equipment.
Yeah. I guess it's coming from far away. I'm just looking at the news. Trump is soliciting donations after the FBI searched his home.
What a chump.
I don't get it. What is the donation? You have all the money, so...
Didn't he did the same thing and ripped a bunch of people off
absolutely.
Before the Stop the over the Stop the Steal stuff?
Yeah. Yeah. Former U.S. President Donald Trump on Tuesday tried to turn the news that the FBI has searched his Florida estate to his benefit, citing the investigation and text messages and emails soliciting political donations from his supporters. Yeah, he tried to paint the search of his Mar-a-Lago club in Palm Beach as a politically motivated move by President Joe Biden's administration, even as the former president plays a key role in Republican primaries ahead of the November midterm elections that will determine control of the U.S. Congress. Wow. He might actually get away with this. He might actually be able to convince people that this is some kind of a political thing and that somehow we're under threat. Yeah, we're under threat of justice prevailing. Yeah, we're under threat of the truth actually coming out. And if the Republicans win in November, that may never happen. That scares me. That scares me a lot. I hope. You know, we didn't mention Kansas, and we have to go now, but Kansas really showed itself last Tuesday by voting against abortion restrictions in huge numbers. Kansas, if the rest of the country can wake up and do what's right in November, then I suspect more justice will be on the agenda in the years ahead. And more happy days like what we've seen over the past few days in Congress, where something important actually gets passed. We'll see more of that, too. I cannot imagine why anybody would be opposed to the things that got passed over the last few days, you know, addressing climate change and reducing health care and taxing the companies that make the most money so that we don't have to pay for it out of our own pockets. These are all good things. These are all examples of what we can accomplish if we work together. And with that, we are out of time. Please write to us, otw@2600.com.
And listen again next week.
Yes, we're back then. Bye-bye.
Good night.
There's a conspiracy and trying for a coup. I think we should be free to do what we want to. You may well roll over, but don't expect me to go along. Just
Yeah, I never mind giving up a little airtime to Mick Jones.